listening to the all-new Pei Chen Show on In-Depth Radio, News Talk 1010.
Oh, a fun summertime song. You know, I have to say I was a bit surprised last week by how many of you wanted to know more about this Hiveshare program that I was talking about on the show. I mentioned last weekend that I went to visit my beehive and that my friend Portia and I, we had bought part of a hive together, and our beekeeper took us out to actually see our girls at work. And it was a lot of fun. We got all suited up in the beekeeper's outfit and got to see what it's really like. And a couple of you actually wrote in and asked me for more information. So Fred, who is the beekeeper that I got my hive share through, he's actually going to be on the show at about 8:30 tonight. If you have any questions, you can always call in and ask him. But he'll fill you in a little bit more about urban beekeeping and how it's becoming quite popular and quite a trend. Also, why you might be hearing a little bit more about bees in the news, especially this summer. And he will let you know a bit more about how you can partake in this hive share program, which I have done as well, and how you could get your own special honey, because that's what I will have at the end of, I guess, about the end of summer. So again, Fred, my urban beekeeper, he will be on the show at about 8:30 tonight. Also on the show, a group of local chefs and restaurant owners, they call themselves the Group of Seven Chefs. When I first heard of them, I didn't really know what that was all about, but they actually get together and they put on some really cool food events in the city where they try to bring people together and bring the food community together and really focus as much as they can on promoting local and sustainable, you know, purchasing from farmers and letting people know that they can go to these, you know, some relatively inexpensive food events where the experience is very cool. So, for example, they have one tomorrow night, which they'll tell you a bit more about. It's called the Hogtown Throwdown Part Deux. So I assume there must have been a really successful one perhaps last year. So this one that they're having tomorrow night at the Brickworks, it's $50 for the event. And there's 8 chefs, 2 hogs. I guess if you're a vegetarian, you're not going to be so interested. But if you're not, you might want to find out more about it. But they also do some really cool events throughout the year, about one a month. So I'll talk to 2 of the chefs and they'll talk about more about what they do and bringing together the local food community. And I know you may not think of this, but red wine can actually be a great summertime drink. I'll talk to sommelier Courtney Henderson about lighter red wines and what kinds of food they pair with. That's coming up later in the show. I would also like to thank you all, friends, strangers, for your messages of support and understanding. You know that my lovely mother was in town for a couple of days, and my mom and I, we definitely have this mother-daughter relationship. She's gone now, so you don't have to hear a lot about Mama Chen after tonight. But my mom and I, we don't have one of those best friend relationships. You know, I have some girlfriends who say that their mom is their best friend, and they talk to them about everything. I try to talk to my mom about nothing that has anything to do with anything other than her being my mom. Like, I don't talk to her about my personal life. I do that as little as possible. So just to share something with you, my mom has a way of sort of digging and saying a little comment that will just sort of grate at you. So, for example, just the other day, we came back from shopping during one of those crazy humid days we had this week. I walk into the living room. My mom has stripped down to her underwear and granny panties, and she's lying on my couch. And I'm like, why is this happening? Why are you in your underwear? And my mom just says, it's too hot. And her giant panties, and it's not because she's a large woman, it's just because there's so much material in her underwear, like they go up past her belly button. And then she looks me up and down and she says, you were skinnier when you lived in Winnipeg. Yeah. Those are the kind of things my mom says. I lived in Winnipeg for 2 years. She's actually right. You know, I probably have put on a few pounds, but I never want to allow her to be right. So I denied it. Then on her last day in town this week, I can hear her rifling through everything in my bedroom. And there's a bag of clothing that I have on my floor that I've been meaning to donate. And I can hear her rifling through it to see if there's anything in there that she can have. And I hear her scream, you have boy underwear. And I had a moment of panic. And I walk into my room and she's holding up a pair of Joe Boxer boxer shorts. And yes, those are boy underwear. And in fact, I got them as a gift because I was helping a friend out with a prostate cancer vent. I'd worn them around the house like as pajamas a couple of times. So I said to her, yeah, those are mine. I wear them. And I swear to God, I've never seen my mom look so confident in catching me in a lie. She thought it was a lie. And she says, you can't wear these. And I know what she meant. They're too baggy and bunchy. I could not wear them as underwear. I would not wear them under skinny jeans. And I said, well, no, I wear them as pajamas. And she looked kind of like she didn't believe me for a second, but then, you know, looked kind of deflated. So she bunched them back up, stuffed them in the bag. Anyway, the next time my mom comes to visit, I'm leaving condoms and pregnancy test kits all over my apartment. And then she'll have something to talk about. I want to talk quickly about some food trends that have been going on. You've probably heard of the cronut craze. It's been going on for about 2 months now. There's a bakery in New York City that has created this croissant donut hybrid. There's been a lot of buzz about it because people have been lining up for hours to get one. This bakery in New York only makes a certain number of them. They tend to sell out within an hour of opening. So these cronuts, again, croissant donut, they sell for about $5. What amazes me about this is that people have been lining up to buy them and then they are flipping them. They're selling them on eBay for about $30 to $40 a piece. Can you believe that? And the thing is that people are actually paying this price. There's an actual market where people will pay $30 for a croissant slash donut. This is America, the source of my envy and dismay. But I just wanted to let you know that you do not have to go to New York to try a cronut if you're curious. There's a little bakery, a really cute little bakery called La Dolce. They're Dundas West near Trinity Bellwoods Park. They have made their own version of a cronut. I think they sell them for about $3. When I first heard about it, wasn't super into it. I wasn't clamoring to go and try one, but I did have an opportunity to try one, and I have to say, it's pretty great. And the wonderful thing is, you don't have to pay someone on eBay $30 to get one. I thought it would be like a greasy croissant, but no, cronut, not bad. So again, if you wanted to get one, it's at La Dolce's cute little bakery on Dundas Street West. I want to remind you, of course, that you can always listen to past shows on podcast on my website, paychen.com, or find it in the iTunes store. You can just search The Pay Chen Show. You can always follow me on Twitter as well, at Pay Chen. Make it very easy for you. Coming up, picking out at the Brickworks and how a group of local chefs are trying to promote sustainable eating and how they're building a local food community. So that's coming up in just a minute. And I want to tell you that there is wine in the studio right now. And Ellie and I both have a few glasses of it.
Oh, yeah.
And probably shouldn't have started sipping it already.
No.
So we'll see how coherent I am in a little bit.
This is the all-new Pay Chen Show on In-Depth Radio, News Talk 1010.
You know, if you know me at all, or if you listen to the show for 10 minutes, you know that I love food. I have a very healthy appetite, and I also do some food writing. I do a couple of different jobs, and one of them is food writing, and that's how I manage to meet a lot of interesting people within the food community, and especially chefs and restaurant owners. And I was really happy to hear about a series of events that are put on by a group of local chefs who call themselves the Group of Seven Chefs. So I will actually speak to two of them and have them explain what it is that they do. So first, I have got Scott Vivian on the phone. He's the co-owner and chef of Beast Restaurant, which is down on Tecumseh off of King Street. Hey, Scott.
Hi, Peg.
And I've also got Bertrand Alape. He's Bertrand's done so many things. Chef, pastry chef. He's worked in many kitchens and restaurants in Toronto, now works, but I guess mostly for himself. And the two of you are part of the Group of Seven Chefs. So, Scott, let me start with you. Can you just tell me what the Group of Seven actually is?
Yeah, sure. It's a group of chefs that kind of got together originally because we were a bit tired of the lack of promotion that we felt from the food media in Toronto on a Canadian level and on a international level. So we thought that we could bring a little bit of attention to Toronto by not only doing events every month, but also bringing in chefs from all over Canada and the U.S. to come to Toronto and see the rich gastronomic movement that we had going on and have some fun as well.
And do you expand beyond seven of you?
you know what? It's
because I know it's like a group of seven, but I know that you do work with a lot of other chefs quite regularly.
Yeah, there's actually four of us that are in the core group of seven, so that allows us to have up to three guest chefs for each event that we do. Sometimes we do four guest chefs. It just depends on the event that we're doing, the size of the space and the format and theme of the event that we're going to do.
Okay, and so then I'll throw this next question over to Bertrand there. How does sort of the general public benefit from some of these events? Because I find that it's often sort of that in-the-know food community who kind of happens upon these things first. But, of course, anyone is welcome to attend your events. It's just a matter of them knowing about it and having something that, I guess, still appeals to a broad crowd. So, you know, who are you hoping to reach with these events?
Well, I think the idea is to reach out to everybody, actually, is to, like, you know, and also, like, I guess, chef clientele, you know, between, like, restaurants that are involved and chef and, you know, just, like, create food and an atmosphere that's really a bit different from our respective places and bring something to the table that is different and that is accessible to everybody. So really, like, we're not trying to, like, pinpoint one kind of crowd. It's really for everybody. It's like, you know, Scott has a certain type of clientele, I have a certain type, and just bring everybody saying, hey, come and see what, when we combine forces, come and see what we achieve. And so it's fun. And every event is different. So it's always, you know, we're always going to get a different crowd.
No, it's true. And I know that you're doing one tomorrow night, which is, it's
Hogtown Throwdown, yeah.
Hogtown Throwdown. It's all pork.
Yep.
Tell me, Scott, can you tell me a bit about what tomorrow's event is? And are there still tickets available?
Yeah, absolutely. There's tickets are available on our Eventbrite site until midnight tonight. And then at the door tomorrow throughout the course of the event. So the door is open at 7, but at any time you can come and get tickets and get in at that the Brickworks, the Evergreen Brickworks at 550 Bayview Avenue. So it's actually a follow-up to the original Hogtown Throwdown, which we did last year. So this was the second year in a row that we've done it. And this year we've decided to invite a few more chefs. Last year we had Derek Damon from Montreal, who was the chef at DNA at the time, and he's now since opened Maison Publique, and we've invited him back, as well as Charlene Twan from Restaurant Toque, Emma Cardarelli from Nora Gray Restaurant, and Antonio Park from Park Restaurant. So it's, you know, it's bridging that gap again and bringing some Montreal chefs into Toronto and having a good time with them and showing the camaraderie that we have in our business. And also reaching out to a crowd of people that we know not only enjoy having a good time, but like to try different stuff, like the wines from South Africa that we have and Spearhead Brewery and, you know, supporting local artisans just like ourselves.
Okay, so for $50, I guess that's the price if you buy before midnight tonight. Otherwise, is it $60 at the door?
$60 at the door, and
okay.
It's still a steal because it's... everything's included. There's no extra cost.
So your food and your booze is included. But for example, this is going to be my first time at a group of seven event. I'm bringing a friend of mine along. We just know that the feature is pork. But what kind of food is it going to be? What are you serving? Can you give me an example of a dish?
We paired up each group of seven chefs with a Montreal chef. So each station will have two different pork dishes on that station, and we tried to keep it somewhat symbiotic on the station. So for an example, Derek and I are paired up and we decided to do a Southeast Asian theme. So he's doing a Malaysian pork belly dish and I'm doing a Thai pork dish as well.
Okay, cool. And Bertrand, what about you?
I'm paired with Charles-Antoine from Toque. So we went like really French, and he's making like his own version of a croton, which is kind of like a rillette, like a pâté type thing with lots of pork fat and lots of meat and spices. And I'm making a pâté en croûte, so like a traditional, like, same pâté, but that you wrapped in a dough made out of duck fat. And so that's going to be, we kind of like have the charcuterie table tomorrow. So.
I feel like I need to be rolled out of this event tomorrow night.
Oh, yeah, big time.
It's going to be, I'll have to eat salad all day and then for the rest of the week. And so you do events monthly, is it, or more than that?
Yeah. We've done an event every month for the last 2 years.
Okay. And they're always different.
Every single always. Time.
And yep. I do know that, I mean, a lot of them are quite meat heavy, but you do also do a vegetarian event. Is that right?
Yeah, we yep. do. We try to do 2 a year.
Mm-hmm.
And that's actually how we kind of got started. We thought it would be pretty funny and interesting to show people that meat-centric chefs can also prepare vegetables and do it really well when you take our kind of crux out of the way. And so that's really how the Group of Seven got started, was doing this vegetarian dinner to show the camaraderie between chefs and show them an exciting thing that we can do. And then it kind of just took off from there. And still, our vegetarian dinners to date are our most popular dinners. They wow. sell out really, really quick. And I would say 98% of the people that come to our vegetarian dinners are meat eaters. They just want to see what we can do with vegetables, and they might have a vegetarian friend that they don't usually get to go out and have nice, tasty menu dinners with, and then that gives them an opportunity.
I love it. So take the meat away and then see what you guys can do with some, you know, fairly plain and humble vegetables. So thank you both so much. Again, the event, the Hogtown Throwdown Part 2, is tomorrow night at the Evergreen Brickworks. If you want to find out more, you can always visit their website. It's thegroupofsevenchefs.com. When we come back, I would like to know if you've ever bought something at Honest Ed's and what kind of deal you've gotten. You can give me a call at 416-872-1010 or star 8255 on your cell phone. You can also text 71010. Let me know what kind of deal you've gotten from Honest Ed's. We're taking a break right now on The Pei Chen Show. Back with more after this.
You're listening to the all-new Pei Chen Show on In-Depth Radio, News Talk 1010.
I want to know if you've ever actually gone into Honest Ed's and we're able to leave within 5 minutes. You can't, because it's a maze and it's built to keep you in there for a very long time. But I want you to call in 416-872-1010. Let me know what you've purchased at Honest Ed's. I was going to say what deal you've gotten at Honest Ed's, but I'm assuming that if you bought something there, you bought it because you thought it was a deal. You didn't buy it because you thought it was of great quality, it was going to last you a lifetime. 416-872-1010 or star 8255 on your cell phone. You can also text me at 71010. Let me know what you've purchased at Honest Ed's and what kind of steal of a deal you got. Of course, it was in the news recently because, you know, Honest Ed's apparently is going up for sale, and most people seem to assume that it will probably be torn down and condos will be built because it's at such a prime location. I know there's a lot of nostalgia attached to Honest Ed's. For me, you know, I moved to Toronto to go to university, which meant I was poor and I didn't have anything to set up a home with. So Honest Ed's was the place that I went to when I got my first apartment and I needed stuff for my kitchen. I didn't have anything. I probably had an odd camping plate and a mug. And I bought an 8-piece pots and pans set there for, I think it was about, it was probably like $34.99. That's a pretty good deal for a whole set of pots and pans, you know, frying pan and little saucepans. Anyway, the problem with this set was it would rust if it got wet. So think about that for a minute. Think about the fact that you need to pour water into your pot to boil pasta, but it would rust because you put water in there. Anyway, like I said, it was a good deal. I'm not saying it was a great value. Someone texted in saying that they bought, oh my God, a week's worth of sandwich meat for $3. That's a steal. That's what Honest Ed's is all about. Elliot, do you think that's gross?
I would not trust the quality of that meat. I would not expect to survive the night.
Well, you know what? It probably, this meat will last forever. I put this question up on Facebook as well. Someone wrote in saying that their mother bought her wedding dress at Honest Ed's. I'm not sure for how much, but I would imagine it was a steal of a deal, probably just a couple of bucks. That or you know, sewed together a couple of dish towels, and that was the wedding dress that you got. Anyway, if you did get something really cool and cheap at Honest Ed's, let me know. Text in at 71010 or call 416-872-1010.
This is the all-new Pei Chen Show on In-Depth Radio, News Talk 1010.
Last weekend, I was telling you about how I went to visit my beehive up at Casa Loma. What my friend and I did is we had bought into this hive share program with a urban beekeeper. It was just something that I found out about at a little food event. And I just thought this is so cool because here we are living in the congested concrete jungle. And how cool is it to be able to, you know, own a beehive if you want and actually get your own honey from all your worker bees. Anyway, when I was talking about it last week, quite a few of you wrote in asking for more information. So I thought it might be great to have the guy come on. And that would be Fred from Fred D's Bees. Hey, Fred.
Hi, Pei. How are you?
I am doing well. I know that you are... I shouldn't say busy bee, but that's too obvious, but you are quite busy this summer taking care of all the hives that you have in the city. But I want to start with what's happening with bees right now, because they have been in the news this summer.
Right. What we're seeing is a lot of reports of bee deaths. This isn't the first year that it's happened. I think the first time that it really started making news, at least within the food agencies and to the government level, was last year when... we saw a lot of bee deaths, and this year it got even worse.
Why is it worse this year?
Well, I think with the there's I think what we think here, beekeepers anyway, and the science is actually showing that the smoking gun for these bee deaths is actually honing in on a type of chemical that's being produced by two companies, and they're generically called neonicotinoids, or neonics, as we refer to them, but companies that we know like Bayer and Syngenta from Germany and Switzerland are creating these pesticides, and the pesticides are actually being embedded into the seeds of corn and soya, and there's a lot of that grown, as you probably know, in southwestern Ontario. So the problem there is that when these when the flowers from the corn and soy bloom, the bees will go out and they'll do the thing that they naturally do, and they'll go pick up nectar from those flowers and bring it home, thinking that they've got a great food source, and share that information or share that food amongst all the bees in the hives, and communicate where to go find that nectar. And unfortunately, they've got, after they start drinking that that nectar, they've got about an hour to live. Because the drug is so powerful that it basically it is a neurotoxin to the bees, and unfortunately we see a lot of bees dying a really bad death, suffering outside the hives, and by this time they've already communicated where that nectar is to other bees, and so we have a cycle, a really bad cycle.
So very quickly, they've basically infected the hive because they're sharing this food source with the other bees, and then it's just sort of a domino effect.
Exactly, and not just the bees that are alive, but the babies get it too. Those that haven't yet grown fully, they're getting fed this stuff and mixed with pollen. And yeah, so it's really not a good situation.
Okay, well, Fred, you know, I associate bees with honey, and I think, okay, well, maybe this means there's just going to be less honey this year. But in fact, people don't realize, you know, if you go all the way down the food chain, how important bees are to so many of the things that they consume.
Oh, yeah. The almond industry, for example, is totally dependent on honeybees coming in and pollinating the almond yards. But generally speaking, about a third of the food that you and I eat on a daily basis has been pollinated by honeybees.
Wow.
So there will be a significant impact on the things that you and I eat, and if things don't change.
So about a third of the things that we purchase are dependent on the bees being able to do their work. So if we're losing bees, it's not just honey, but it's going to go up the chain. It's going to mean less, you know, yield at farms, and prices going up. It's really going to affect us more than we think it is. But you were telling me a great story before too about urban beekeeping and also this hive share program, which is what I want to talk about. But when you start up a hive, you often have to purchase the queen bees.
Yes. So I have a supplier and who lives in the Guelph area, and he has he not just sells me the base hive, the starter kit, basically, but he also sells the queens. And I like to requeen my hives every year or two just to make sure that I've got a prolific layer of eggs, because queen bees in their early days will lay about between 12 to 1,500 eggs a day. And just to make sure that they've got enough population to do the things that they do naturally, which is to go and make honey and pollinate. He's busy doing that. And what the great thing is in our city is that bringing honeybees into our city, we get to diversify the plant life that we've got here. We're greening the city, and we're producing some fabulous honey.
Now, your supplier, you had told me when we spoke before, when I was visiting the hive with you, that he, is it that his father has won an award for his work with bees?
Yeah, so the bees that I typically buy from are Zabo bees, and his father has studied bees all his life, and I think he received an Order of Canada for the work that he did on bee studies, bee genetics particularly. So, that's the good news. I mean, the fellow I buy from is a third generation beekeeper, and he's a wealth of knowledge. The sad news is that when I picked up the hives, and when I picked up your hive actually this year, Tibor Szabo, my supplier, came to me, just said to me he was extremely sad that day. He had lost 50 hives from this very thing that we're talking about, these neonics, these neonicotinoids, these neurotoxins.
Mm-hmm.
So because the bees will harvest in a 3 to 5 kilometer radius from where they start out, they will not only do the things that we want them to do, which is pollinate a wide area, but unfortunately, nowadays we're seeing that while they're doing that, especially in areas where there's agriculture, they're getting exposed to these neonics and bringing that back home. That's one of the reasons why I got into, one of the reasons I got into urban beekeeping was I didn't want them to be, I wanted to get into beekeeping, and I thought that I would provide a safe home for them, and now that's becoming more true than ever. I mean, living in the city and having bees in the city, they're not exposed to the neonics to the extent, or to any extent, really.
So they have a better chance of surviving in the city?
Oh yeah. As a matter of fact, Tibor told me that he was thinking of bringing one of his mating yards to the city, so they have a better chance of survival.
Now, when you say that he lost 50 hives in one day, put that into perspective for me. How many bees are typically in a hive?
In the high season in June and July, you'd have 50,000 bees per hive.
Well, that's a lot of bees to lose in one day.
That's a lot of bees. That's a lot of bees, and this is this man's livelihood. So to lose that amount, I can only imagine what the economic impact will be to him over the summer.
Now, tell me a bit more about this hive share program, because I have talked about it a little bit, about how I own part of a hive with a friend of mine, and I think it sounds, kind of fun and silly at the same time, but we don't really do much of the work. You're the one who actually does all the work.
Yeah.
We just happen to be able to visit our kids.
Yeah. Well, you were helpful. Don't sell yourself short.
Well,
helpful.
We tried to be helpful.
Yeah, it was good. So the way the program works is, I bring hives into the city, and individuals can own a share, a quarter, a half, or a whole share in the hive, and whatever that hive yields, whatever those bees produce, you will get in return. And typically, and what that means is, you'll get a quarter of all the honey, or half of all the honey that hive produces, or all of it. It's spoken for under your name. And so I'll go out and buy new equipment every year so you get a fresh start. And usually, I requeen every year so that you'll get a vibrant new queen each year. And what happens is I typically do two harvests. It's all very weather-dependent. I typically do a summer harvest and then a fall harvest, so you can get two different, totally different tasting, in my opinion, types of honey.
But what makes them different?
Well, it's really the flowers that bloom. So, as the seasons progress, we get certain wonderful flowers in the spring and summer, and then as fall comes, other flowers will bloom at the same time. At that time, goldenrod, for example, comes in, witch hazel comes in late in the season. So you'll get honey from these different flowers, and what I find is the honey that we get early in the summer until now, it's really, really light and very, very flavorful and strong, very, very floral, I should say. Whereas the second half, it's almost it's much more viscous. It's darker. It's almost like a syrup. And Boulder, fantastic for cooking with, where the other one, where the summer and spring honey is almost like you just want to eat it by itself, or at least that's what I do. I think it's too special to add to anything else. So it's really interesting, and to know that it comes from, you know, a no pesticide zone, you're helping the bees, and you're helping to green the city. Really, you know, it makes me feel good that what I'm doing.
Now I feel like I've done a good deed, but all I did was purchase part of a beehive.
You have.
Now, how often do you go out and check up on the hives? Because like I've said very clearly, you're the one who does all the work. You know, we kind of purchase the hive and we have the opportunity to visit and help you out once in a while. But, you know, how much work is it? Because the other reason I ask that is because it sounds almost easy. I can go out and I can buy a queen bee and I'll buy a starter kit and I'm going to put this in my backyard and I'm going to do this on my own. But it's not that easy.
Well, no, I got to find a place that complies with the Bee Act of Ontario. Yes, there is a Bee Act of Ontario, and we do our best to comply with that. So we have to have it spaced in such a way that's away from other properties. That's a challenge in and of itself. This year, I've got about 35 clients, and I've got about 35 hives.
Mm-hmm.
And so they're all spread out at different parts of the city. So and one of the things I do is I invite people like you, all my share owners, to come out and work with me for a day. But to answer your question, how much time? It's a lot of time. It's my wife calls herself not a golf widow or a hockey widow. She's a bee widow because she doesn't see me on the weekends anymore. I keep asking her, come on out, help me out, help me out. And she does from time to time, and I get my son to do that too. But most of my weekends, I keep my fingers crossed that the weather will be good. And I get out there bright and early and get to it.
Well, thank you so much for all the work that you do. Thanks for joining me tonight, Fred.
Thanks, Pei.
Now, if you want to find out more about the Hive Share program, you can always visit Fred's website. It's urbanbeeman.com. Still to come on the Pei Chen Show, if you're planning a great summer barbecue, I'll tell you why you should be reaching for a nice red wine.
Pei Chen is Talking Toronto on In-Depth Radio, News Talk 1010.
Well, when you're thinking of summertime beverages, you know, for your barbecue or your picnic, whatever you're doing in the heat, you might not think of this. You might not be thinking of red wine, but I've got someone here who's going to tell me that, in fact, I'm wrong. I should be thinking of red wine. I have Courtney Henderson here, who is a sommelier. And I have to tell you, I normally associate red wines with like the warmer months. And not with maybe a barbecue, but in fact, a lot of these wines actually pair really well with some of the foods that we're throwing on the grill.
Absolutely, of course. I think it's a shame that when the hot weather rolls around, people automatically go to white wines or beers or cocktails. But today I brought three different styles of reds from our diverse portfolio that are super value driven,
mm-hmm.
great with food, and are, you know, perfect for hot summer weather.
I guess it's because we often think about going towards the cold drinks when it's hot outside. And I think, you know, red wine is something that you serve, you know, at room temperature. And I don't know a lot about the red wine. So I was really surprised. You've actually brought three different bottles and you've already poured some. So thank you for doing that.
Of course.
Get to do a little taste test. And the color on them is quite different.
It is. And, you know, going back to your point about serving red wines at room temperature, I think the definition of room temperature has changed over the years. So don't be afraid to throw your red wines in the fridge for 15 minutes before you open them.
Nice.
It makes them a little bit more refreshing and easier to drink, especially on a super hot summer day.
Okay, so what is the first suggestion that you have?
So we'll start with the Mirasu Pinot Noir.
Mm-hmm.
Mirasu is a great family story. They were actually one of the first families to bring Pinot Noir over to California. And this is actually the number one selling Pinot Noir at the LCBO.
Oh, really?
So Pinot Noir, first off, is probably one of the most food-friendly reds on the market. It matches with a myriad of foods. So it's a great tip. If you are going to a great summer party or, you know, going to a guest's house, bring a bottle of Pinot Noir because, again, it matches with a myriad of foods.
See, I like that. I like something that that most people will enjoy because it's hard to to choose for someone else. So when you know you have sort of an automatic crowd pleaser, that makes it so much easier to bring a gift. And when you know that it pairs well with most foods, then you've got it covered off instead of picking something that only, you know, pairs well with something that's quite specific. So is this the one that's quite light? It's like a ruby red in color.
Of course. So that's Pinot Noir by Nature. So
I didn't realize that.
Lighter skinned grape throws lighter skinned color. So, you know, Pinot Noirs are great for their red, juicy red fruit characteristics. Mm-hmm. They have a little bit of spice on them, a little bit of earth. This one's super, super like value-driven at $13.45 a bottle.
That's great.
And just quaffable.
Yeah.
Think of this with your barbecue.
I like that word,
salmon.
Quaffable.
Yeah, quaffable.
Like, I want to use that every day.
It's a great word.
All right, I like that very much. And the next one you have, I'm actually familiar with this one, the Red Rock.
Yes, I've heard that you're familiar with this wine.
Well, I know that it... it pairs well with like grilled food, and I've had it where the food was cooked on like hot stones, which was
very cool. Yeah, so this is a Red Rock Malbec, again coming in at $16.95, and this is the first California Malbec to hit Ontario, and again offers a great black fruit characteristics, medium bodied, so you don't get a lot of those sticky tannins, and this wine goes perfect again with your barbecued burgers, even like those sticky pork ribs.
Ooh, that's nice. Okay,
and
so
again,
something like the Red Rock will go with that. It's a bit of a tongue twister when you say it too fast. And then what's this final one that you have here? This one's quite a bit darker.
So last, the third wine that we're trying is the Louis M. Martini Cabernet Sauvignon from Sonoma County. Louis M. Martini has over 75 years of winemaking experience. And they're really known for their value-driven and expensive Cabernet Sauvignons. This one comes in at $18.95. And of course, who doesn't love a good Cabernet Sauvignon with a big meaty steak, like your ribeyes or your T-bones?
Mm-hmm.
This one in particular is full of red fruit and cassis and a little bit of cedar box. There's a little bit of slightly dusty tannins, but that's great because that works really well with proteins as well.
Okay, so that's why you're saying like the grilled meats, that works. Would this go well with like a nice juicy burger?
Oh yeah, for sure it would. Of course, you're making me hungry.
Now tell me just a bit about the difference between light, medium, and full-bodied wines. And is, you know, I might be wrong, but I would assume that perhaps in the summer you go towards more of the light.
You could, but again, like when you think of wine, think about the weight of wine. And when I say weight, think water versus milk. So, for example, like this Mirasu Pinot Noir, you mentioned the color. When it's on the palate, it's light and it's juicy. That's the weight of the wine. Versus the Louis M. Martini Cabernet, as our last wine, it's full body and voluptuous, or even like a Shiraz or even a Zinfandel. Like it has that full mouth texture. And so weights of wines play with different weights of food. So, again, another great tip on food pairing is match the weight of the food to the weight of the wine.
Oh, that's great. So the lighter body of the wine would go well with your seafoods, I guess, and the poultry.
Exactly.
And then the heavier for your nice steaks, your meats,
burgers,
your
ribs.
And now I wish we had a barbecue
here.
I know,
me too.
I thank you so much for bringing these in for me to sample, because I did tell you sort of before we started that, you know, I don't know a lot about wines, but it's nice to figure a way to match them with summer foods.
Of course. And I think a really important rule of thumb, too, is like don't ever be intimidated. You don't have to break the bank to get a great bottle of wine.
Well, these are all under
$20. All under $20. And they over-deliver and great quality, great fruit quality, and great crowd-pleasing wines.
Well, thank you so much. I was speaking with Courtney Henderson, sommelier, about all the great red wines that you should be considering for your summertime dining, barbecue, picnics, all of that. We're taking a break here on In-Depth Radio News Talk 1010. You're listening to the Pei Chen Show. Back after this.
This is the all-new Pei Chen Show on In-Depth Radio, News Talk 1010. In the summer.
You know, it probably was a good idea to keep the wine segment near the end of the show. However, Elliot and I both have samples of wine in front of us. I've been very careful to only sip mine when I was talking to Courtney, but Elliot, I haven't asked him yet if he's been drinking his wine throughout the show.
I've had all three.
Have you? Is that a joke, or have you really had all three?
I basically chugged them all.
You chugged? Okay, good. That's are we even like live on air? Probably not. There's probably something else running because we haven't. There's a button that you didn't push, or
I may have been neglecting something in the whole process of chugging.
Like, you know. Go to air.
Yes,
turn mic on.
Details.
Or maybe the show is better because we've both just had a few little sips to warm our cheeks.
Exactly. I think it's made us loose and fun.
Yes, that's right. You know, earlier on in the show, I was asking people to call or text in and let me know what sort of great deal they've gotten at Honest Ed's, you know, sometime in the past. And I was talking about how when I had got my first apartment after I finished university, I needed to kind of stock my place, and I didn't have any money. So I bought a set of pots and pans at Honest Ed's, except for they rusted when you put them in water, which made it really hard to kind of wash pots and pans. I remember buying my cutlery there. And once I tried to open, I think it was, you know how you use a handheld can opener and then you need to kind of pry the lid open? So you use a butter knife. I think I did that once and the entire thing just bent, you know? But it was a good deal. That you couldn't deny that it was a good deal. It wasn't a good product. It was just a good deal. Someone also texted in saying that they bought moldy hummus for $2. That's not a good deal. No. Someone else said, I hope this is a joke, they bought condoms at Honest Ed's. Very comfortable ribbed condoms. Anyway, he's probably a father of 10 kids right now, doesn't know it. and I wanted to say hello to someone who texted in. His name is Dan Ryan. He said he was happy to listen to the show because he's been a fan since the G&G days. And the only reason I want to bring up G&G is it was a show called Gadgets and Gizmos on G4 Tech TV. And I did this show with Amber MacArthur, who now does a ton of stuff, technology stuff. And the show we did almost 10 years ago, but someone told me it still airs. Some shows have longevity, but a technology show does not. So I think probably we were like, hey, there's this new thing called the internet. And GPS, that's kind of cool. So apparently the show still airs. I don't know if it should, though, but if you catch it, let me know. Someone just walked into the studio, and I have left him some glasses of wine. Vinny White is in right now. He's going to be on, of course, at 9 o'clock. I left you some wine. Vinny, are you going to...
Stinks. It stinks in here.
It's just lots of wine. You should have brought some cheese. I should have texted you to bring some food in.
I'm going to try and avert it throughout the show. Oh, there's bottles left. Did she leave all this?
Hey, now, those are your glasses.
Yeah, and but that's a bottle. Bottles. You've already got one there.
We've got a couple of things going on right now. I want to remind everyone that they can catch podcasts of the show on paychen.com or on iTunes. Vinny White, what's coming up?
Your show's a nightmare to listen to when you're hungry. I was hungry all the way through your show.
I'm hungry right now, and then I sip some wine.
Salivating. Are you slurring, Pay?
It's just maybe it's a little bit.
I love you.
Wish I had some foods in me right now.
I love you. Coming up on my show, we're going to talk about the worst song lyrics of all time.
Can you give me an example?
Yes. The Red Hot Chili Peppers, fantastic track. Ring, ding, ding, a ring, ding, a fling, ding, bling, ding. I think that was it. Black Eyed Peas, my humps, my lovely lady lumps.
Lady lumps.
And he was a boy, she was a girl. Can I make it more... any more obvious? Yes.
No, don't know what you're on about. I need it to be more obvious. Thanks for joining me tonight. I'm back next Sunday at 8 p.m. Vinny White's up next.
Can you hang out with me for a bit?
I'm drunk.
Be perfect. I was lying.